Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, these are God's words. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which we hear about something that must be very important, because the apostle says that if these instructions are not followed, the word of God is going to be blasphemed. And this is a dreadful thing indeed. And yet it is something that as we consider the verses here, we must conclude with grief that the word of God has often been blasphemed and is much blasphemed even in our own day. If we don't have or won't take the time now to study first and second and third wave feminism, but all three of them have been opposed to the portrait of a woman that is given here, that Titus is to command to exhort the older women of the congregation in Crete to be, and the younger women of the congregation in Crete to be. Just as he had with the men, and the older men in particular, who themselves, although they are elderly rather than elders, yet they, similar to the elders, are an example to the rest of the congregation. And so he began with the older men in verse 2. So now he turns to the women and addresses the older ones first. And he instructs that they be reverent in their behavior. The word reverent here is built off of the word for priest. It's not the same word that has been used for reverent in a number of these lists in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. It refers to how the priest was always reminding himself of the importance of his role and the importance of remaining holy. He would be very careful never to come near anything that was unclean. He would remember that that his hands are going to be needed for the service of the church, for the offering of the sacrifices in the case of the priest. And so an older woman is to consider herself devoted to the good of the church as if she were a priest. Now, this isn't necessarily a widow, but even perhaps in her and her husband's old age, if the Lord has spared a husband to her, he is no longer working and needing for her to keep up the support of his vocation. The children are grown and gone. The season of the helping of her husband and obeying of her husband and the taking care of her children, taking all of her time, that season has passed. But still, all of her time is to be devoted unto God, and devoted unto God for the good of his church, like a priest who considered himself and all of his time to be devoted unto God for the good of God's church. And so there's that mindset that is built off of the word priest here and translated in our version, reverent. So she must be reverent or priestly, if we will, but not saying that she's ordained to office or anything like that. Reverent or priestly, consecrated, devoted in her behavior. There are two things that if she is not careful and consecrated and devoted, that she is in danger of falling into. One is becoming a devil. That's the word that is behind the word slanderer here. Yes, it means an opponent and an accuser, but the fact that it is from the word for devil reminds us of the great harm that is done by a woman whose lips are loose. She is in danger, not having as many duties now in this season of life, of going around and letting things slip here and there into conversation, letting things slip into the conversation that are negative about others, or that's private in information, and causing whether it's a low opinion of someone else, or strife to arise in between parties, or envy or jealousy, or frustration or bitterness. Being uncareful of our speech can cause so much discord and so much harm, just as the devil loves to sow discord and strife to harm the church. Well, an older woman who is not being careful of her conversation and consecrated, devoting her conversation unto God for the good of the church, is in danger of unintentionally even, unknowingly even, or maybe intentionally, God have mercy, becoming as a devil, someone whose carelessness of conversation passes around information that should not be spread, or even falsehoods altogether. And so she is to be priestly consecrated unto God for the good of the church in her behavior, very careful that of her conversation, and also careful not to live for pleasure. Here it says, not given to much wine. It's not the same word as given to much wine, like we saw, for instance, the officer qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. Here it's the word for slave, not a slave of much wine. And it's a reminder that living for pleasure enslaves someone to whatever that pleasure is for which they live. And alcohol in particular, because of the way that abusing it wastes time, you become useless for service, it lowers your guard and permits much more of that remaining fleshliness to be expressed than otherwise would, and it can be very addictive as well. And so alcohol, which can be a right and good pleasure, it is a profitable servant in many ways from the Lord, but it makes a terrible, horrible master, and it can so easily go from being one to the other. And any pleasure in life can be similar in that regard. Remember 1 Timothy 5, talking about the true widow in particular. One of the danger for an older woman or for a widow is that she would live in pleasure. And you remember the apostle there said, the one who lives for pleasure or lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. It would be better for her and for others if she had been dead. Isn't that a dreadful thing to consider? That there is a way of living that God says about it, it would be better if we had been dead. It would have been better for us if we had been dead. It would have been better for others if we had been dead. Dead while she lives. And so they are to be consecrated and devoted to God for the good of the church, careful of what comes out of their lips, that it would only be that which is beneficial and helpful to others, and beneficial and helpful to the church, and careful not to live for pleasure. And this makes them, by their conduct, by their conversation, by their priorities, teachers of good things. Notice teachers of good things here, again, is something that they are. I know that this is verses 3 and 4 become a proof text for having like women's ministries led by women and women's classes, things that the Bible never envisioned, and certainly is not the case here. How do we know? Because this is something that is required of every older woman. If this was talking about women teaching classes in the church, or women becoming teachers of women in the church, every single woman, every single older woman in the church then would be required to be a teacher of these classes. No, they are required to live the sort of life that teaches the younger woman. That at the beginning of verse 4 is better translated, so that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. And so you have an older woman who has gone through the season of the husband and his calling, the household, she being the mistress of the house, where he is the master of the house, and she having to oversee so many things in complement to and support of his overseeing things. That season has passed. Her bearing and rearing the children has passed. And here she is, with all of the time that she has, still devoted, consecrated to God for the good of his church. And the younger women see and they think, oh, this desire for living for myself and living for pleasure and not having to serve so much, this looking forward to retirement that is the American dream but the Bible's nightmare, this is wrong. That's from my flesh, because I'm devoted to a certain type of service now in this season of my life and calling before God, and I am to be devoted to another sort of service, but still devoted to service in the latter season. In addition, the older women have gone through that season, and they are evidence that God's grace sustained them, and God's grace will sustain also the younger women. And so their conduct, their behavior, their character becomes an admonishment to the young women. What are the young women to be? And it's to be, not to do, although it looks like to do in our English version, where it says to love their husbands and to love their children. It's actually nouns, that the young women be husband lovers, that the young women be children lovers, that not only is it something that they do. Do you love your husband? Oh, yeah, I love my husband. And do you love your children? Oh, yeah, I love my children. I love them dearly. But that the loving of their husband and the loving of their children, the service of their husband, the service of their children, be so much of their work that it can be described as their identity. Yeah, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a housewife. Or even worse, I'm just a housewife. No, what do you do? You know, it's not so much what I do, it's who I am. God has called me to be a husband lover. God has called me to be my children's lover, a child lover. And so the picture starts to crystallize of the older women in verse 3 being of this priestess sort of mindset, that they are consecrated, devoted unto God for the good of the church, even in their internal conduct of what they live for, not living for pleasure, and even in how they use their lips, the devoted lips, only that which brings praise unto God and which does good unto the church coming out of their mouths. That's what they are. And the younger women, this is what they are, lovers of their husbands, lovers of their children. And then in their conduct, that they would be discreet, sober-minded, self-controlled. The idea is they have sound doctrine that shapes their priorities, that shapes their choices, that instructs how they do the things that they choose to prioritize. And they are controlled by theology. They are controlled by the Bible. They are controlled thus by the Holy Spirit, who is conforming them to Christ. Chaste, that means they are pure. They don't allow any uncleanness in their life, anything that would distract from, divert from, mess up their ability to serve their husband or to serve their children, to love their husband, to love their children. They are homemakers, and it's a word for work and a word for home, and it's just mashed together. They are workers at home. The home is their masterpiece, their magnum opus. They are devoted to it, and not just for beauty or for efficiency, but for good. They are good, and the word here, yes, meaning morally upright, but perhaps even more than that, beneficial, seeking to benefit their husband, seeking to benefit their children, seeking to benefit the church, seeking to benefit even strangers by hospitality, and obedient to their husband, subject to their husband, submissive, submitted to their husbands. Something that, of course, rubs the flesh the wrong way, and is we live in such an anti-biblical age of that is so hostile to God's design for marriage and for the home, that these words are very offensive to many. But this is what they ought to be, and all of these things again, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. What a horrible thing it would be to hear the word of God, read the word of God, claim to believe the word of God, and then to live just like everyone else does. To be a living testimony to the idea that the word of God doesn't make a difference. How dreadful that would be. And so the Bible here places a very high calling on older women and younger women and little girls, Sophia, little girls who need to pay attention in family worship, who need to learn to obey their dad and their mom right away, all the way and cheerfully, who need to learn how to love to serve, and not just because I'm going to get to play later, but because the service honors God and does good to others, because you need to train so that you can be one of these younger women. And God helping you through many, many years of being one of these younger women with your husband and with your children, then maybe the Lord blessing you with all those years and all that grace, you would be one of these older women who is an example to the younger women, that God's grace will do it, that his grace is powerful, and that he is merciful to sustain us in our callings. Only the Lord give you, my many daughters, my dear wife, to be able to follow this passage by the help of his Spirit. Let's ask for that help. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that your Holy Spirit would help us all in character that we have been seeing you call us to throughout this passage, throughout this book. But we pray especially just now for my wife, for my daughters, that you would grant to them, O Lord, this devoted and consecrated life that rejoices in your design, that rejoices in their calling. We pray, Lord, that you would grant this not only to our household, but to every household of our congregation. And indeed, O Lord, that part of a widespread revival and reformation would be your causing a recovery of biblical womanhood in the churches generally, and even in the wider society. Have mercy, O Lord. Truly, there are many who live as if your word makes no difference, and we live in a sad and grievous age in which the word of God is therefore, by your own definition here, much blasphemed. Forgive us, O Lord, and grant repentance, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.